What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma. You were listening. You were watching the Complex Sneaker Show. As always, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, my two friends, my two office mates. To my right, Mr. Matt Welty.
We're here.
We are here. To my left.
Hello.
Mr. Brendan Dunn.
What?
Nothing. I feel like we see each other all the time now. Yeah, we're back in the office. Yeah. He's driving me crazy. Okay? We do have the triangle offense.
When you say
though.
He, you mean?
Him.
Okay.
But I'm probably driving him crazy too.
Wow.
Right?
Tell me how you really feel.
No. We're driving each other crazy.
This
That's
is therapy.
No.
I feel fine.
You
feel
like
fine?
It?
Yeah. I feel better than ever.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Your back is better?
Because I sit next to you again?
These guys are giving Sorry. Each other high fives.
He's next
on.
To us too.
Yep. Thank you, Joe.
Got a lot to get to today. We're going to dive into go, no go sneaker mock-ups. Going to talk about the Air Max Day shoe. LeBron just wore it. What else are we going to?
We're going to talk about everyone's favorite sneaker, good or bad, the Panda Dunk.
Always something to say about Panda Dunks. Also, I want to discuss those off-white basketball
okay.
shoes. Those are very bad to me. But and then another thing that's bad to me, the Ben Affleck wearing the Era Dunks and some of the reporting on it.
So. A lot to get to today.
Did you see him in the office the other day? Could you explain that?
Hold on.
What?
What happened last week in the office?
I really don't
know. Nothing, everything was normal?
I come in, I think I had a meeting or something. You come in a little later.
Okay.
I look over, mm-hmm. you're in socks.
No shoes on your feet.
Oh.
What happened?
You think that's acceptable?
Yes, I think it's really so.
What happened, though? Describe what happened.
I think what I did was actually...
the right thing to do, as per usual?
The courteous thing to do.
Okay.
You stepped in a puddle?
No, I put it out there. I was walking through the streets of Jersey City, mm-hmm. and there was a guy...
Feeling like the mayor.
Guy walking his dog. I was walking to the train, and he was being a little...
Golden Retriever?
No, it was a pug. Oh. He was being a little... looking around weird, and his dog pooped on the sidewalk, and mm-hmm. he was an asshole and didn't pick it up. And then...
Did you call him out? You say, hey, buddy.
Did you purposely step on it?
No, I didn't see... I didn't oh. see it, and oh. then I stepped in dog poop, and then I realized that... And the guy was like... crap and wasn't like oh my bad
he saw
bro.
The size of you he saw your hulking frame he and he said I just made a mistake
and I held it in a few expletives were yelled but I held it in
yeah
and
you rode the whole train with them on though
yeah what am I gonna do
well, we have to ask what sneakers you were wearing.
I wore in a gray Kayano 14s I walked to the office and I'm like wait I'm gonna be the biggest jerk off on the planet if I knowingly have dog poop on the bottom of my shoes yeah. and then walk into the office
and what day was that when we were back in the office, day two?
Yeah, and I'm just going to be a jerk. I would be a jerk. I'd be an inconsiderate jerk yeah. off if I walked through the office with a pair of sneakers.
Remember that song? You're a jerk.
Yeah.
Jerking?
Yeah, either ways. But so I got outside. They were shoes I had for a few years. They were a little cooked.
Mm.
And I said, you know what? It's about a 30-foot walk to get into the office where I have a whole stack of shoes. So I just left them outside.
So you took your shoes off on the sidewalk, left them there, walked through the lobby of the office building,
yep.
hit the elevator, mm-hmm. came up with your socks on.
Yeah.
Did anyone see you in the elevator or no?
No.
How was the train ride, though? You must have been really...
It just was literally a shitty situation.
There he goes. That's why he's a writer.
Didn't you see some scuffle later on in the day over your sneakers or somebody noted that
apparently like people in the lobby like wanted them and then they were like fighting.
Did they
with,
know they
like,
were yours game worn?
Is that why?
I don't know.
PEs?
They were fighting with some guy on the sidewalk who was trying to take them and
what
like, such wow. drama over footwear.
Yeah.
Who that, could have anticipated?
The Matt Welty PEs. But I will say being in the office
I did the right thing. It was okay. Sparkly.
Being in the office, I feel like every day now, new footwear. Right?
Yeah.
I feel like we're switching it up more.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure.
Forcing you to wear your shoes again?
Exactly. A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Forcing you to wear your clothes again?
I know.
Yeah.
Can't just get by with the same raggedy tank top. Camera off on the Zoom meetings.
With the pasta stains on it?
Little bolognese.
Yeah. Ooh. Go for that. Go for that right now.
More than a little.
Mm.
We've been gone for a week. We're back in the mix. It hasn't been too interesting. And sometimes we take a week off and we come back and there's a bunch of sneaker stuff to catch up on. I feel like it's been a little bit quiet over the past couple weeks. But
the biggest sneaker thing that happened since you've been gone.
Always. Clip that out, somebody, please.
Yeah.
Please send me that clip. Just on repeat for an hour. Yeah.
Was a pair of Joe LaPuma's favorite sneaker of the year that he said he wasn't going to buy. Reimagine
bread
fours with the tongue tag upside down.
Oh, yeah. Wait. So, and then those sold for $17,000?
I mean, look. Okay. The thing is with these sneakers where there's a defect on them, mm-hmm. first of all, it's hard to verify whether or not that is actually something that came like that out of the box.
Or someone did it themselves.
Yeah, because it wouldn't be that hard for the sake of attention on the sneaker internet. And we know the great lengths people will go to for the sake of attention on the sneaker internet.
It feels like a lot of work too, though.
Yeah, but I think people have done weirder things to get the attention of other people on the internet when it comes to footwear. So this is a pair of Jordan 4s with the tongue tag upside down. So the Jumpman's basically doing a handstand. And then, yeah, there is a completed auction on eBay, a sold listing for, yeah, $17,000 or $18,000.
Did we try to get in touch with them?
I didn't reach out to the guy. I'm always skeptical about the defects, but I'm extremely skeptical about the idea that anybody would pay that much for this shoe. Well,
there was always a lot of auctions back in the day that would go for like crazy amounts of money, and you're like, there's no way that someone actually paid this. I'm sure we all remember when the OVO Air Jordans first came out, the 10s and 12s. There were a lot of early auctions of those shoes on eBay before there was like a general release of the sneakers. And mm-hmm. you can bring them up on the website. There was just, they'd go for like $50,000 or something like that. And it's like, there's no way that the person who actually bid that much, like, swiped their credit card. And
had to go if you got one of those defect pairs, would you... Like it's something special that you wanted to hold on to?
See how that's valuable. It's like a era baseball card, you know?
Yeah,
like
but those could be valuable. Or a misprint Magic card, you know, the cut is a little bit off.
Wasn't there the first pair that caught a lot of attention was a pair of Air Jordan 1s that had the swoosh upside down on
them? Yeah, the patent leather ones. Yeah, there was an upside down swoosh. And again, I just don't understand how something like that would leave the factory. If it's got the QC sticker on the box that somebody looked at it, how did they not realize what was happening?
And you said that the tongue tag, you could easily flip and kind of make it realize it. And I don't know because I'm not a cobbler. You know, I'm not a shoemaker.
But you are a shoe dog.
That's true.
Yes. But I would guesstimate that reworking the swoosh on a shoe, like flipping it upside down, would cause some sort of stitch work to be left or punctures.
Oh, you feel like it'd be too hard to cover it up?
Yeah, like if you take the shoe's already been punched through, so if you flip it...
It's not going to fit in the exact same spot.
It's going to be in the exact different spot, but there's going to be an outline of the previous
spot. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Speaking about Bred 4s, though, you made a choice this week.
Yeah.
Two shoes. I'm interested. I want to hear what the audience thinks. You were talking to me. I don't know if you...
Three shoes, actually.
Three shoes. Okay. Yeah. So you were deciding, and like you said, I bought the Bred 4s. I got a pair. Mm. Very happy with them.
You only imagine.
Huh?
You're only on one?
Only on one. I think I'm only going to do one. But very good quality, but you had a conundrum. Mm-hmm. Name the three shoes that you were contemplating. This or that or that.
Okay. So I'll preface this by saying back in the day, a younger Brendan Dunn in his 20s, I would have just bought every shoe.
Okay.
And I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that, especially because, and we've spoken about this before, in the hobby of sneaker collecting, you can always give yourself the excuse of, oh, I'll just sell it later on if I don't end up wearing it and I'll make a little bit of money off it. So I was, you know, looking at a handful of sneakers and trying to decide which one I wanted to spend my money on. It was all black Foamposites.
Yeah. You said it's a big Foamposite year for you.
Yes, exactly.
Which we don't believe, but...
Right? Mm-hmm. He said, I need more people.
Yep. Number two.
All of Air Jordan 5s.
Okay.
Sure you don't need.
Okay. Here he comes.
A sneaker I've wanted for years. A sneaker I came close to buying on eBay many times. Old pairs. But we came to a point in time where those were probably expired and not going to last.
Yep.
Or the Bred Reimagine Air Jordan 4.
Which one are you picking?
Bred Reimagine 4.
Easily.
Easily. That's like an easy, like... Easily. You may throw names out there, you know, where it's like, hey, what movie we're going to watch? And you can come up with eight okay movies. But then when you actually get down to it,
we're watching Goodfellas.
You can just chuck some of those off like the list really quick. I would think all of Air Jordan 5 is just instantly
agreed.
Like, boom.
Agreed.
Because, okay, there are a lot of people who like that shoe.
I'm people.
Yeah, of course. And I do think when that shoe came out, it was...
It was a quick strike, wasn't it?
It was like that LS era where the stores had to buy the apparel to go with the sneakers.
We drove all the way to get them. I didn't get them. My friend wanted them. We drove. I told this before.
I believe it was kind of like from what I remember of it, like being on Nike Talk at the time, it was kind of like a love it or hate it shoe. So, like some people loved that shoe, and I didn't mind it at all. So I'm not under that, guys. But I think a lot of like the OG purists at the time, because I feel like there was more of those back in that era who really wanted the OG color Air Jordans, were just like, no way, you know?
Yeah.
So, but at this moment, I just feel like an Air Jordan 5 isn't the choice silhouette that you're going to get the most like play out of.
Just for me personally?
And just in general.
So you rank that 3.
Yeah, I feel like...
Foamposite 2, Bred 4, I agree with him. I'm biased.
Okay, here's the thing. I'll just say that like, and I'll be honest about it, in my sneaker elitism, in general, the shoe that everybody's going to have is the one that I'm probably less inclined toward.
Well, we're going
to
get to that.
I get it. Yeah.
We're going to get to that a little later on that topic.
Yeah, for sure. But like... I like that shoe a lot, and I buy a lot of GR stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever the big Jordans were last year, I probably bought a handful of them, if not most of them. But I just see the Bred reimagined Jordan 4 out so much right now. Yeah. That as much
not,
as I
not
do
a bad
like that
thing,
sneaker.
Though. Yeah. Not a bad thing.
I know, but I just don't want to be the 50th guy wearing it that I see in a day.
You don't want to be on the train and seeing like a
I saw him on the train today.
There you go.
So I'm on the subway today.
Inescapable.
Speaking about GRs, what are we rocking?
I have a GR pair of New Balance 860 V2.
That we thought was a collaboration?
Yeah, that store, the apartment in Tokyo,
they do
posted
really cool
a pair.
Stuff.
Yeah, they always make stuff look good, and they had shown a pair of these on their Instagram, and they just looked amazing. And I was like, what are these? And I was talking to Tom Henshaw at New Balance.
Shout out, Tom.
And he helped me track them down. So thank you for that, Tom. And yeah, glad to have them. Sometimes you just got to do the GRs. I do the ALD 860 V2 quite a bit, and I was like,
it's a comfortable shoe.
Yeah, let me do some other 860 V2s.
Oh boy, GRs.
Oh, I love that shoe.
Viotech Air Trainer 3.
That's one of those shoes
consider
that like...
Consider this a GR?
I don't remember the last time they came out. I feel like they were probably pretty easy to get.
Yeah,
that's one of those shoes that, you know what, in your memory, you almost kind of like just forget about it. And then when I saw you wear it, I'm just like, oh man, I love that shoe.
Thank you.
Multi, what are you wearing?
I don't know if I wore these recently. Joun Kayano 14s that Brendan Dunn infamously didn't like at first. But
there he goes.
always keeping me honest. But remember, just in terms of keeping me honest, that you did say I was never going to buy the black foams. And
that's
I did
the
end
one
up acquiring the black foams out of those 3 sneakers.
That's the one he picked.
Oh, wow.
So, you got to wear them on the pod.
Are you going to fulfill the prophecy and wear the pants with them?
I'm actually annoyed that you brought that up, because I was going to surprise you and do like a giant pair of pants with those. And I will forgets. Someday soon on this podcast wear a big pair of pants with those
parachute
black
pants
foams.
With the black foams.
Yes, I promise you that. Okay. I'm happy you're back in Kayano 14s because you took the Kayano 14s off your feet and left them outside because they were covered in dog feces.
He always has
them. I don't really know if that's a moral conundrum, but is it a good or bad thing to unknowingly leave a pair of shoes that have been, you know, poop stained?
Oh, you just said you did the right thing.
I think I did the right thing by
for the building.
Yeah.
For my your coworkers.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh wow, there's a free pair of shoes, and then it's like,
that's why there's a free pair of
exactly.
shoes.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you could have thrown them out.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, just if we're keeping honest, if the tables were turned, if you had walked through the like right in front of our desk with a pair of shoes that you know was covered in dog poop, or you had or vice
I know
versa,
what I would have done.
No, but everyone would have if we had known, washer. They would have been upset.
What I would have done is I would have texted someone to bring me a pair of shoes down.
Yeah, but we don't have that poll like you, where we just have like
you
people.
Guys. I would have came down with a pair of
we
shoes.
We just don't have
guys.
Like people.
It's like
that
the
are
most Caleb thing of all time. Someone's just with a pillow with a
no,
pair of shoes.
No, if you guys would have texted me, hey,
I'm not Joe LaPuma. Like, I don't have people who could just bring me sneakers anywhere.
You know what? It was one of those situations where I wasn't thinking about it, and in all reality, walking the 30 feet it took to get to my office wasn't really the biggest. People were like, oh my God, how did you survive walking in a pair of socks across a marble floor?
It was just
a funny sight.
A funny image. Yeah, and I hope we have an image or two we could put in here on the podcast. But just you. I love that the podcast people, you know, we're back after a week off. And the thing we're spending the most time
the
20 minutes talking
that
about.
That they want to hear.
Fecal matter on Welty's footwear. Air Max Day is coming up.
Yep.
LeBron was wearing the release for Air Max Day.
Yeah, the Nike Air Max 1 Big Bubble, the royal pair.
With the neon.
Don't need that one?
Don't need it.
With the Volt.
I don't mind it. I really don't mind. But I also didn't mind the red pair. I'm in the minority of liking that shoe.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really rub me the wrong way. But you guys tend not to like it.
Yeah, I just feel like the best reason for this to exist in 2024, this Air Max 1 blue and white OG colorway, big bubble 86, but with the neon volt hits tying back, is because it is a 10-year anniversary of that
red pair,
white and red pair that they did
326 on,
yeah,
the tongue.
Air Max Day in 2014. I never liked that pair from 2014, and so I don't think that's a strong enough thing to reference as a bring back.
No. The biggest Air Max Day in recent time was probably the Sean Weatherspoons, right?
Sean Weatherspoon is the best Air Max Day shoe ever. We've said that before.
Why don't you think that Nike ever tried to recreate that program where it was basically a design contest?
Well,
yes?
They did. The next year.
The next, they only did one. It was that 97, the...
Well, they did like a handful of shoes. I went to campus.
Yeah.
The 97 with the blue, red.
I mean, I assume that they just have the pressure of trying to do something different every year.
Okay.
And I feel like because of that, they end up coming up with ideas that just aren't as strong as... And also, we're never going to get a shoe as good as Sean Weatherspoon's Air Max 1 Air Max Day again, even if they did do another vote program.
It's kind of like a crapshoot to some... degree too, you know, where
not unlike the streets of Jersey City.
Yeah, literally a crapshoot. Yeah, because the next year they did a lot of shoes where it was a shoe from a bunch of different regions.
Yeah,
where, there's even an old full size run episode where you can see my own submission to the on air program. I had the big poster board where I went to the program with
better than this creation, or
I actually think, you know what? I actually think my
would have won.
No, I just think it was a really solid shoe.
I got to see that.
Yeah, they said, give a story inspired by New York City. Mm-hmm. Me being a Jersey guy, I did a shoe inspired by the view looking at New Jersey from New York.
Well, there's
who
a knew quiet
we had
portfolio
a Tinker
of sneaker
designs.
Who knew
designs? We had a Tinker Hatfield?
He's got the New Balance 991s.
It was a Meadowlands Nike Air 180.
Air 180s. He's got the Air Force 1.
Yeah, either way. But either way.
Skews under your belt.
Either way, though. But I think that it was just really tough because they picked a shoe from, like, I think it was like New York, Shanghai, Tokyo, et cetera, Paris.
Seoul. That was
London. I think it's just tough, like having an unknown quantity, you know, trying to design the shoe and seeing how much it's going to be received.
You mean the person behind the sneaker?
Just in general, you just don't know. It's at the time, I think when they did the Sean Weatherspoon thing, it was a bunch of semi-known designers who got a chance to do it, where
people who had already made a name for themselves.
Yeah, and this was like totally crowdsourced.
Yeah.
Where it could have just, and it's not bad for Nike to give the little person a shot at something, but it's just like when you base your whole release strategy around someone who you don't know has an audience or not yet, and it's like, how is the shoe going to be received publicly, where you don't have that. Like, I feel like the thing that made Sean's shoe excel is he had like that baked in audience with Round Two and this whole like creative marketing kick that he pushed it, driving around in the van,
crowdsourcing
and, like,
it, the video
part of the thing, but also it's a beautiful shoe. You got to give
no
it
for sure
it
I'm not saying that, but it was like the
dingers.
It was like the a perfect storm of like all these elements that like really built up that but whereas like the other ones, they all and they released them all at once, you know, and it just didn't really hit.
It's funny. I feel like we've talked about Air Max Day so many times, but that new Volt pair popping up, I felt like was worth discussing. And then between that and, like, I know we're going to get a bunch of Air Max DN stuff around that same celebration. And it just doesn't feel that exciting to me. And I think ties in some ways back to our earlier conversations about Nike not having that much high heat product right now, or that much stuff that can really get people excited. And if any time they should have things like that, it's Air Max Day, because there's such a rich catalog there. But for me personally, and maybe Welty, you feel the same way, Joe, I don't know about you, but as a person who likes Air Max a lot, it's just there's nothing happening on Air Max Day that I know of that I'm interested in.
Happens.
Yeah.
People feel this
internally at Nike too. I mean, there was all hands call out, not about Air Max Day specifically, but just about the rough spot the company is in right now. The leadership team was getting lit up on that all hands call in the chat. You know how this happens when, you know, there's a all hands internal meeting at the company. People have questions for the leaders and the execs. Yeah, people were.
Were you on it?
what do you mean? Was I on it?
No. Interesting burner. Who knows?
Interesting take that I saw recently. I shared it with you. I believe the Shoe Game posted it. I believe it was a tweet from a user called Midwest Hook, where the take was on the reimagined Bred 4s, since it's like a one-off in the history or in the lineage of the Bred 4, right? Yeah. Where it's going to be the only version that's the leather version.
Okay.
That in 10 years' time, that this is going to be like a $1,000 shoe because it's like an oddity where people want that one.
That's a very astute observation. And I do kind of see what they're talking about, where this is another thing I've come to again and again, but I've explained that I'm not that pressed for any particular Air Jordan retro release because I trust that it will come back around. Yeah, but something like a leather version of a Bred Air Jordan 4.
I can't imagine they ever re-retro this one.
Yeah, or if they do, it'll be 15 years down the line. I hope they don't get so desperate that we're seeing it again in 6 or 7 years. But it's a good point.
Isn't that kind of crazy, though? Because at first, like, the whole take was, you know, I mean, at least with Joe, you not being excited because it's so different from the original. But then the difference is going to make people celebrate the shoe in the long run.
I mean, you could say the same thing about a lot of collaboration versions, right? Like, that's why something like a Union Jordan 1 remains special, because there's the idea that it's never going to come back out, or it's not going to come back out in the same way that a black and red Jordan 1 would, or a black toe Jordan 1 or something like that.
Another shoe we should talk about, getting off Nike, big news, Joe Fresh Goods.
Oh, man, I love those.
Yeah?
Oh, I love that shoe.
So Joe Fresh Goods New Balance 1000?
Yes. Original New Balance shoe from 1998.
Seems like that's
sort of like a running cross trainer model that doesn't... I don't want to go back and be like, oh, this is a historic model for the brand.
Yeah.
This is... I mean, even if you try to look up history on the shoe, there's not really much. There's like a... one really old print ad.
You're saying this is not a historically important New Balance silhouette?
No, I think it's something that they found in the archives that it's cool, but it's
which
not,
is fine. Not everything has to be a classic.
No,
of
for
its
sure.
Day.
Did Teddy preview? Was that before Joe Fresh Goods announced?
There's a Teddy version as well. Well, okay. Joe Fresh Goods, what originally had happened, and I had actually confirmed this, was that the Twitter user Michael Sykes had posted something about there being a flyer with the shoes on it.
In Paris,
and I had talked to people at New Balance, and they had said, yes, we discreetly put it up in the back of a Paris Fashion Week party just to see if people would notice it or not, and it was the Joe Fresh Goods New Balance 1000 collaboration. You couldn't really tell that there was two different colorways in the photo, but...
Did you see the copy on the poster?
What was it?
I love it. I don't have it all committed to memory, but it said something like, we don't give a fuck if you're tired of us. This is what happens when you let real ones in the door. Basically,
oh,
Joe Fresh Goods saying, like, he could probably see the narrative at this point of, like, oh, that guy does a ton of shoes. Oh, Joe Fresh Goods every other month. But he's saying, like, look, I have this window open. I'm going to take full advantage. I'm going to make heat as much as I can.
Joe Fresh Goods, known for amazing rollouts. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask, does New Balance have the best rollout strategy right now?
I feel like rollout strategy as a whole in sneakers right now, it's not like it doesn't matter, but it's become so like foiled.
What do you mean?
How so?
Just with the whole age of leaks, you know, where it's like rollouts, they always get bungled in some sort of way, where even the Joe Fresh Goods one, we were posting kind of like shoddy pictures of the shoe on Instagram. And it didn't make I'm not like mad that we posted it, but it didn't make the shoe look super flattering. Mm. I think that the person that kind of initiated the rollout strategy when it comes to sneakers is our friend Ronnie Feig, right? Mm. During that like 2011, 12, 13, 14 era where it was like post the heel, post the toe, post the tongue.
Yeah.
And like
very, very slow rollout. Yeah.
But the thing that they're doing is, to me, the toughest part in sneakers. They're introducing new models. They've been doing it. Mm-hmm. We go back to the 550 where, again...
Or models that were not in the marketplace
that's what
at
I
the
meant.
Time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bringing
retro
back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bringing
yeah.
back. Go back to the 550 where, like, you had to look through an old New Balance ad, super obscure. You just said same thing kind of about this. Their hit rate on bringing back these so obscure models, obviously they launch with heat collab energy... But now the 1906, right?
Yeah.
The 1000. Now the 1000.
860 V2.
The what?
The shoe I'm wearing right now.
Exactly. I didn't hear you. My stomach was growling. I couldn't hear. But now it's in the space, and now they're off and running.
Yeah.
Have we seen that across other brands recently where, like, bringing back older models as new is shunned a lot? Takes a long time for it to warm up. I feel like New Balance is doing it one after the other.
You feel like New Balance has more success better hit rate recently, on that right
well, I feel
now.
Like yep. Nike's
across all brands.
Nike started to do it a little bit, but I feel like they're just like hesitant to really like own it, you know? Mm. Like the Vomero
okay,
is a thing.
Good example.
But they had done that shoe a handful of years ago and it like just didn't hit. Mm. Mainly because I think that the colorways on that shoe were like the shoe wasn't in trend, but I think some people like it, but I think the colorways of that shoe originally were like pretty bad. Like,
and I'm not talking about the Dunk or anything. I'm talking about obscure.
But even what you were wearing recently, I know Brennan gives you crap for it, the 2K5 Pegasus.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more of like
the black and pink one, though.
Yeah, those look good on your feet.
There we go.
I feel like that shoe's starting to, like, you're starting to see it more, but it's not like Nike. Nike's just kind of like littering it out there and seeing how it goes. It just feels like Nike isn't really like owning it.
I know what you mean, but also I feel like they use this strategy a lot of like the first time we ever saw the shoe as coming back, it was Comme des Garçons or there are other models like that where, you know, even we talked about the Field General so much, but one of the first versions of the Field General we knew about was this Union version.
It just feels
out,
like they're making
Astro Grabber with Bodhi.
It just feels like they're making the consumer do a bit of research to even search out and find it within their catalog, whereas like New Balance is like putting it like front and center.
Okay,
does that make sense?
But I know what you mean.
But obviously, New Balance has far less product and SKUs in general than Nike does, where it can sit a little more prominently within their business structure. But
yeah,
but I like them. People were, you know,
the colorway,
not giving them crap, but making the connection that it does look like the Tuned Air Max 99, which
the Joe Freshgoods New Balance 1000,
yes, which obviously colorways. Inspired by the Skepta Air Max 97, designed by our good friend Gary Warnett, rest in peace.
Yes,
also tie in there to the Scarab Air Max TNs, which is a shoe I championed that nobody else cared about when it came back as a retro. I have them, and that's what's important.
Okay.
I like the pink pair of the Joe Freshgoods 1000s. I don't need the one that looked vaguely
what was crazy the other day? So speaking of TNs, I feel like Nike, you know, they're trying to make a TN a thing, except without actually like making it a thing. They're doing everything in their power to try to make it happen, except actually make it happen. But
what do you mean?
Yeah,
You mean it's not catching, or
I just
doing
feel like
wrong?
They're like the amount of energy that they've put into. I like TNs. I'm not saying it's a bad shoe or anything.
You know, I'm here for the TN wave.
We've been talking about this TN wave like over and over and over.
I don't
think
they're going so crazy.
They're putting a lot more effort. We're talking about them not putting effort and energy into the other shoes.
Yeah.
They're putting a lot of effort and energy into the TN, much
a little. I think they're sprinkling a little.
I think a lot of it happened last year between Supreme, a Cold Wall, and the Pada Barcelona collaborations. But I feel like this year there haven't been huge pushes around.
Well,
we
were about to say,
The boots.
They're making the football boots.
The boots are fire.
Vinny Jr. popped out with the cleats.
Okay, but
and Mbappe debuted the purple ones.
Joe LaPuma was considering buying a pair of the orange football boots.
Look incredible.
But I'm like,
BFD. I used to play soccer. Who knows that I won't be a Pier 40?
Really?
Maybe.
You gonna lace them up?
When was the last time you played a competitive soccer game? I'm not saying like in a league or anything, but just like even in like something where people can score.
Obama's first term.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Who cares though? Who says I'm not capable of doing it? Maybe I will get them. I had Vinny Jr. on the show. The boots look great. The TNs as soccer boots look amazing. Yeah, I said boots because I've dealt with a lot of
global
football superstars where I know the lingo now. But you may see me at Pier 40. Don't dare me. Because if you do dare me,
actually, I probably should dare you. Because number one,
I would nutmeg you to Bolivian. So I don't know what you're talking about. Do you play soccer? Why don't you get on the field? We'll get you can wear a GoPro and we'll live stream it.
We can do that.
We're gonna have to live stream soon. We're gonna have to live stream soon. So okay, let's make content out of it, and we'll sell the boots, baby. But anyway, you were coming at me because I was like, I want a pair. And
I'm like, it's a fair question to ask.
It is a fair question.
It is a fair question to ask, but we buy a lot of shoes that we never end up doing anything with.
Yeah, but at least you could do something with them.
Yeah, the potential is there.
I may put they just look great. They look great. And, you know, I'm sentimental. I have Vinny on the show.
Looking at that, that's Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, another
big one. Wait. I'm sorry. Can we get a little more TN talk in?
Yeah. Go ahead.
We said it before in here. I feel like we're just repeating. Everything he's ever, but I'm gonna buy some more this year. The OG Pimento colorway, and Let's see how those Swarovski ones look.
Okay. Yeah, dirty work. He tried to mock it up.
I didn't.
Yeah, dirty
no.
work.
No, dirty no, work. No, we didn't oh, yeah. post a mock-up of those.
I know.
A grayed out photo.
Nasty work? With the in the Adobe?
Oh, no. Don't.
That was funny. Like, could we just pull the correct word?
Like,
we
this tried shit to... would have went so...
No, but I think...
This is what they look like.
Hold on. Let's explain what happened.
I think this is... No, it was responsible on our half. It was almost irresponsible yes. on our half. You were... Weren't you? I believe what had no. This is a positive thing.
Tell me.
You had posted. You had got the information, yep. and were posting the leak for it. But weren't you also going on a trip? The moment that it was posted, like you're
he was gonna. Just,
as is often the case.
Just like that. He's in Egypt, not worrying about the repercussions.
This plays into it because you were
deep in the desert of Oman.
We were about to publish it,
and then you were like unavailable to for like yep. the moment that it was going live.
But I said no.
And we were about to... And we
wait,
about
wait,
to,
wait. We have to say what happened. Yeah,
say it.
You had posted...
Dirty dog.
Hold on. You had posted... We had posted a Swarovski TN leak that... The information you had wrote the story yeah. had gotten the leak.
Yeah, but no pictures of it. We didn't have any imagery of the shoe.
And our coworker, Zach DuBasic, who does a lot of Photoshop... graphic work for us.
Master.
Who's really great at it, did a Photoshop of a Swarovski TN.
Yes. A mock-up.
Thinking that, oh, you know, it's just a mock-up. People won't think it. I'm like, dude, we cannot post this because
I said it too.
It looks way too close.
He did a great job.
He did.
Yes, and almost like too good of a job.
Yes.
You know?
He mocked up the sneakers, Swarovski TNs. They look beautiful the way he did it. I hope Nike does half a good a job. But this is an interesting question too, because
you shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't do mock-ups of sneakers.
No.
This happens all the time in sneaker media where people are posting early information.
I don't think you should do that.
But if someone knows what a sneaker is going to look like and they create an illustration and they clearly mark it as this isn't a real shoe, this is what it should look like based on the information I have, do you think that's wrong? Do you think that's misleading?
Well, wasn't that what inspired Virgil's 50 dunks? Wasn't there a comment where like, I forget, one of the leakers had posted Photoshops of, and he goes, I couldn't design this many bad colorways if I tried.
Yeah, it was all tied
but
in there.
Did you know what it looks like?
I have not seen the shoes.
Then we don't know.
Yeah, no. So that's the thing.
What do you think about the general trend? Because this happens all the time.
Here's the issue is that people run with it.
What's the better question is, what's the hit rate on? What's the hit rate?
How accurate are yes. they actually yeah. toward what the final shoe looks yeah. like?
What do you think?
All the mock-ups out there in aggregate,
40%.
I think it's higher than 40%.
But I think the issue is that we can talk about it, and for like our sake, we're like, hey, it's just a mock-up.
Yeah,
this is what
we know the difference.
Yes, I would say that a high percentage of people who are going to view that don't realize that this is what it may look like, and they just grab things off the internet and tell all their friends what the shoe looks like.
I mean, this is what happens all the time in the world of sneakers. People
yes.
grab things without context or credit.
Yeah. So, and I almost wonder if a brand could...
No.
What?
I know what he's going to say.
I don't.
Could sue
a
publication... And I'm not saying they should or shouldn't. I'm just wondering if they would ever get that upset about it.
I don't think so.
You know
so.
What I tell him?
I don't think so.
If he but gets here, jammed up, don't mention here, my name.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. So say there's a big collaboration coming out, right?
Yeah.
And a leaker mocks up something, right? And then nobody wants to buy the shoe because the mock-up is so bad. Couldn't a brand sue that a thing for defamation?
I know.
Wow.
Or no. hurting. I feel like they would have a case.
All right.
Would you be here? I feel like if it wasn't happening in the complex, you would 1,000% be here for the prospect of the idea of that actually concurring.
Wow.
I just think it's a far-fetched situation. I just have to disagree with you.
You never know.
I'm going to disagree with you, and I feel like, or no, I know that I've...
Or no?
No, Alexander. I've read way more sneaker litigation than you, and I don't think it's a likely outcome.
You never know.
This is what he does.
Sips seltzer.
He's so definitive in a way that you can't argue with, because he'll just say phrases where, yeah, you don't ever know. And that's how
I mean, things you could try.
That's what he does.
Someone could try.
He'll say, "You never know." Someone could get so
pissed. Alexander Arnault could get so pissed at.
He brought Alexander. Wait,
he just said his name
because he slipped and said Arnault.
Yeah.
I said or no.
Yeah.
Don't even ask me how.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey,
I'm glad you called him out though. He was about to be in the French Riviera, and we would have had to deal with.
I didn't call him out. I didn't call him out.
No, he was posting, and then
Welty was saying I was in the right, and I did the responsible thing.
No, but you were saying that he was going to be he was like going on a trip and then.
Well, it was just one of those, hey, let's not do something irresponsible while you're not there to make a final call on the story that that you had done. So it was like, hey, Brendan, what do you want to do for the story that you did? And I was like, hey, we should definitely just post the shoe with the logo next to it. So you know that like, hey, these two things are happening.
Yeah.
But we couldn't even make it a colorway. You just need to make it like a black and white silhouette with the logo next to
it.
So
you're stepping up. Next man up, baby.
I do think that there is an argument on the other side of it is like if someone has described to you or multiple people have described to you what the shoe will look like and you have a good sense of how it will look, or maybe you've seen a photo but you can't post that photo of it, but you can create a version of that to show the public. I think that it's always our duty to tell the public as much as we can about sneakers.
I do, but I think that if you want to take it out of the sneaker term, if you want to just talk about like, I guess, responsibility as a journalist. Let's take it back to J school. And if it was, say, that there was going to be, say, in the city, there's like a...
We're so deep right now. This is so inside baseball but I'm glad we're having this conversation.
I think that if you were to...
Because I think mock-ups are divisive. I'm sorry.
If there was going to be a construction project about a building somewhere in the city and people felt some sort of way about it and you had no idea what exactly the building was going to look like, but then you had done a Photoshop of what you thought the building was going to look like and then posted it or wrote about it in the New York Times saying, here's the new elementary school, et cetera, and it's completely different than it ends up being.
Yeah.
And you didn't know what it was going to look like, then you misled the public.
Agree. But I think in a lot of cases, these leakers, us included, but also people who have way more access to leaks than we do, you know, Z Sneaker at Soul Retriever. I don't have to mention them every time. They do know what the shoes are going to look like, or they do have a good idea what the shoes are going to look like. So in those instances, I think it's fair to show people as much as possible and put a disclaimer that is responsible saying, look, this is a mock-up. We're not saying this is the final shoe. There's so many granular details to it that can change. And we saw this happen this past week where I had posted maybe a month ago around the same time some CADs, some early renderings of Devin Booker's sneakers.
That is different to me, though, because that's actually like
something... And then the final version, we saw the sample pop up and the final version has changed.
That's completely different, but where I think it gets tricky is that when... And this is what I believe you've told me about some of this stuff in the past, where people just get a description of the shoe where they're like, it's going to have red and black on the upper with some sort of mixed material in between. That's like a design prompt where it's like create, like choose your own adventure of what's this going to look like. And I don't think you have enough information to create a Photoshop based off of the shoe's going to be orange and purple and there's going to be mesh somewhere on it.
Yeah.
To me, that's like...
You need more to actually make some sort of rendering.
It looks completely different. And I feel like if you're going to do it, if you want to talk about transparency...
Yeah.
Put the text that this is a Photoshop rendering.
Totally.
No, hold on. On the photo itself. Don't put in the IG caption because the way the internet works is that people take photos and they post the photos somewhere else. And then your little cousin who has no clue about sneakers sees it on TikTok, goes in the Foot Locker. Where do I get this shoe?
You're taking it back to Foot Locker.
But that's the way these things actually work.
Yeah.
So it's like you should put on the photo itself, this is a Photoshop rendering.
Yeah.
The final version may differ from the way this looks.
Yeah. I love too the extreme version of this, and we've seen this happen a couple of times where fake factories have made the sneakers with the watermarks on them, or someone has posted a mock-up.
And they put the watermark on the shoe?
Yeah.
Wait, we have to show that.
For sure. I'm pretty sure there's a shoe out there with a Z Sneakerhead Z watermark.
Those should have sold for $17,000.
It was like an Air Jordan, right?
Air Jordan 1? I'm sure. Yeah, some Air Jordan. But that's, again, We're so deep in.
He was passionate about that though.
Sneaker media right now.
I just think it's interesting because it's
it is interesting
going to journalism school. In like having that background,
yeah.
You know, where a lot of people think that when you work in sneaker media, etc., that you know what the qualifications are to do this, etc., or what your thought process is behind these things. I'm not saying that everyone went to college is the most qualified person to run a job, or that's the barrier to entry into everything. It's not what I'm saying, but it's like funny that you get like taught these like hypothetical situations about like ethics and standards of what to do as a journalist.
Yeah.
And then you don't really see them pop up until you're in these sort of situations. And then you're like, wait, what do I do now?
Yeah. We should, you know what we should do too? People turn the video on. I want to put in here Zach DeBasic's rendering of the Swarovski. Can we do that now that we've
interesting?
Couched it,
are
now
we
that
gonna
there's
do that now?
20 minutes worth of context around it. Can we put his rendering of the Swarovski?
As long as we follow his directions,
Air Max
with
the, and say this is not the actual shoe. Yeah. This is just what some guy in Ohio came up with.
Can a legend.
About, AI and Shaq.
Welt is pointing to the Shaq sneakers on the wall.
Big episode, literally.
Go watch it.
Of Sneaker Shopping. Go see that if you haven't. Went to Indianapolis All-Star Weekend and filmed it at our friend's corporate.
Shout out Sneaker Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate in Indianapolis. Really good episode. One of the episodes where you're like, where really I'm like, I'm interviewing Shaq and AI, and I'm talking about G-Unit sneakers and S-Doc Carters. And
life couldn't be better.
Let me look into the camera. How the did we get here? That's what I'm thinking.
It's like record scratch. You're wondering how I got
here. Mm-hmm. Be thankful.
You're counting
be appreciative.
Your blessings in that moment.
Work hard. Yeah. But also take a step back. How do we get here? I had the G-Unit satin jacket in 2003 at UConn.
This is the motivational moment right here.
I had,
and this is,
my
can
mom
somebody
got
else
me,
clip this out too and put some music on it?
My mom waited in line at South Shore Mall to get the G-Unit sneakers. I saw the AI commercials. Shaq, the most dominant. I got kicked out of my friend's car because I love Patrick Ewing. I love Patrick Ewing.
I thought you were going to say...
We were in Applebee's. We were going to Applebee's.
We're in Applebee's right now.
Going to Applebee's. I got kicked out of my friend's car. Andrew Cavanero, I bring him up.
Yeah.
Short-tempered back then.
The Green Bean Fives.
So. Green Bean Fives. Thought they were spray painted. He tried to tell me that Patrick
really
Ewing...
There's really like 5 bits of this
he
show
He tried to
just
tell me
to.
That Patrick Ewing was more talented than Shaq. Just not true. I'm a Knicks guy.
Uh-huh.
Got into a heated argument. He kicked me out of the car. Guess who picked me up on the side of the road? Sunrise Highway. One guess.
Rudy Calderon.
I say that all to say I'm going to put a pin in it.
Yes.
I'm just
thinking. No, don't put a pin in it. This is so motivational. This is your dreams and nightmares right here.
100%. Put some beats behind it.
Yeah.
But.
And cut out all my interruptions.
I'm talking to Iverson and Shaq about S-Dots and G-Unit sneakers. How do we get here? Thankful. Go watch the episode. Also, I got some stuff coming.
More heat?
Dave Matthews doesn't fly in all the time. He's here. He's
some
not.
Exciting,
he's not.
Some
I got some stuff coming. We're going to be on the road. Knock on wood. If they get canceled, we're cutting this, but hopefully it happens.
Can we do a little bit of gatekeeping?
Yeah.
Wait, are we going to get to?
I want to talk about Panda Dunks.
Okay.
But before that, I want to do some different kind of gatekeeping. And this is important. The story about Ben Affleck in the era Nike SB Dunk that popped up in GQ.
Yeah.
As long as we're talking about the standards and sneaker media
also,
and journalism and things
ben
like
Affleck,
this.
Ben Affleck, he wears a pair of Dunks. That's internet
Front
gold.
Page news.
He's internet gold.
He's the Dunk King.
It's the page view hack.
Hey, okay. So we always want to give the full context around sneakers and when they released and things like that. And like, giving the historical information.
Anytime he does a deep sigh, it's like when Drake did the Duppy freestyle. You know he's about to go in, but go ahead.
He got smacked around by Pusha, but I don't know.
Okay, so GQ posts this short write-up of Ben Affleck wearing the SB Dunk Low era.
From 2006.
Yes, mm-hmm. Ireland that. Tribute colorway. A sneaker close to my heart. A sneaker
has the harp on the heel.
Yeah, exactly. Has a text on the back. I had a fake pair for a number of years. I think I've told that story on here.
I almost bought that shoe as well at a Feet First in New Jersey, but I just thought, like, I remember looking at that colorway and being like, I wanted a pair of Dunks, but orange and green was just a little too...
Yeah.
I remember that shoe being at skate shops on the shelf.
Readily available.
Not one. It was during that peak special sauce era in Bayshore where I was like trying to get all the Dunks, and I remember that one was there.
Nobody wanted it.
Do you know what that shoe was? To me, that shoe was, if you look at like the year before, that's like Tiffany Dunk era, right? 2005.
Yes.
Because 2005 was when a lot of like the real like heater.
Let me just say it. I'll quote him every time. Wale said it. Yeah. Why I don't buy no SBs if the year 05, those diamonds, sue me, I lied. Fuck it too. Fuck it, paid too much for him. Paid too much for him. Fuck it, ain't proud. But the hype, that song, The Hype, where he's talking about, yeah.
Should we FaceTime him? See if
no.
he.
But 05. Yeah, 05, a lot of like real grail level shoes.
Zenith.
Pink box era shoes that sell for a lot of money. But then 06 comes around. I feel like a lot of people got into Dunks 06 because 05 was such a big year.
Yeah. You're describing exactly and the then, experience I had.
And then they went into the store because they wanted to get these super rare grails, and they were met, not that the shoes were bad or anything, but they were met more with these Dunks that, hey, they're old, but they're not just held up to the same level as the shoes that came a year before them.
Yes.
And the Air is one of those shoes.
Definitely. Yes. I remember being like, because you were, not that you were trained, you were almost trained, like, I've just bought every single Dunk. Mm-hmm. I could get them at retail. I've bought every single Dunk for the past year. Then you go in, and the spillover, you're like, do I need these? Second week you go in. Do I need these?
No. Still on the shelf.
Still on the shelf. That's what these
were. Not hard to get.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a fairly benign story in GQ. And we're here to nitpick sometimes. There's one line.
May be written by ChatGPT.
There's one line in there that says, quote, if you've never heard of the era before, that's probably because it's widely regarded as one of the rarest SB Dunks of all time. Not true.
It's not true.
But, that's just not
but
true.
It perturbs you. Because there may be a lot of people reading that who don't know about the shoe. They just know about Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
They get that little shred of information.
From GQ. From and GQ. They assume GQ is a reliable source. When it comes to sneakers, it's I don't know about that.
And now everyone, you're almost rewriting history.
Yeah. And it's already happened because I saw a repost of someone on IG where some other site had aggregated it. And they said, according to GQ, this is one of the rarest SB Dunks it is. So the history is already getting rewritten. And we went through this a lot. Since the Dunk boom of 2020 and after, where we felt it was important in certain spots to remind people this shoe wasn't coveted when it first came out. Not that that means it shouldn't be coveted now. Again, this particular shoe, I quite like it. I bought two pairs, one of them fake, but just that it's worth it to consider the history around these sneakers and whether or not they were grails when they first came out, whether or not they were hard to get when they first came out.
You know what's funny though?
It's important to know.
You know what's funny though is that I don't know why it's such a controversial topic to try and get the history right on the way that sneakers were perceived at a certain point, where in any other facet of pop culture, politics,
sports,
et cetera, where you could be like, was so-and-so a good quarterback? And people can actually go back, look at the stats, and tell you whether so-and-so was a good quarterback. Was so-and-so a popular president? You can actually go back and read things about it and find out whether so-and-so was a popular president.
The polls would reflect it.
Or not, right? And I think those things are always slightly subjective. But when it comes to sneakers, we never really have. I mean, we're trying to do our best.
Create that record.
Create the record, but there's never really like a firm database to reflect these things. There were people who were there. There's a lot of people who have gotten into shoes since then. There's maybe people who were marginally into shoes then.
And which is fine.
Which is totally fine. But when it's just like when you try to be like, hey, back in 2007, that shoe wasn't very popular. And then you find a person online who bought that shoe in 2007, which isn't really reflective of the general taste or just one person who bought that shoe at that time. And they're like, what are you talking about? This is the best shoe ever. Everyone loved this shoe.
And again, I like this shoe.
And it's fine, but it's just not like the general consensus around the way that reality existed at that point.
That's not really what happened.
No, and that's fine too. It just is what it is.
And again, I know we're being granular here. We're talking about the politics of leaking mock-ups and one particular line in a Ben Affleck write-up. But I saw it and I was like, "This you can't just like write that this is one of the rarest SB Dunks of all time.
Same way to bring it back, when you're talking about the all of Air Jordan 5s, it would be like if someone on the sneaker blog said that like the all of Air Jordan 5 is widely considered as one of the greatest Air Jordan 5s of all time. Yeah. We all know that's not true.
Yeah. It's considered by Brendan Dunn.
It's not a bad shoe.
Yeah.
But it's
that's
just
actually
not
a good.
It's just not considered. I just don't know why it's so controversial to just be like. And the one shoe that gets a lot of people in
riled up.
Yeah, except upset about it is the Three Bears pack, which I feel like were controversial when those shoes.
Really...
No, but they were controversial when they came out, and it was like some people liked them, but then also when people released like a pair of like furry Nike SB Dunks, they weren't these unanimously super popular.
It was a joke. It was a troll. James Arizumi said it himself.
Designer, yeah. If Nike, if the guy who said the shoe was supposed to be so ugly that people weren't supposed to like it, then maybe we're a little right in saying that, like, hey, maybe it's not a good shoe.
Okay, you got that off your chest.
All right.
No, many, many, many things to get off our chest this week. And again, no hate to the kid who wrote it, you know.
No.
Maybe he's not a kid, I don't know.
But it's funny because talking about gatekeeping,
yeah.
But wrote a story this week.
Wrote a tweet first that turned into a story.
That was the opposite of gatekeeping.
Tell us about it. Tell us what happened.
I just had a thought. We were sitting around the office as we do now, and I feel like maybe sitting in the office, our brains get pumping a little more with the ideas of sneakers and being in a work environment.
And your body's pumping too. You got lots of caffeine loaded in there.
Oh, yeah, God, dude. I got too much.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened?
Yeah, starting to resist a little too aggressive.
Your synapses were firing.
I just had the thought that, you know what? I feel like pre and post pandemic are like two real.
Pandemic?
But they're two, they're like a real like line in the sand of like culture and sneaker culture before it and culture and sneaker culture after it, you know?
How people consume sneakers.
Yeah, just two different things. And I feel like if you want to talk about the past 5 years, that takes you back to 2019, right before we all went on lockdown. And I think that there's no bigger shoe on the planet than a Panda Dunk.
I agree. We're going to dissect it. I think where you were getting pushback, where you said in the piece that people were mad, I think you used the word influential. Is influential and biggest shoe of the last?
Also, it's not the biggest sneakerhead shoe, right? Because we always have to qualify.
I don't think so.
Wait. There are certainly sneakers that have sold more than a
Panda. I get what you're saying. What we consider in our space.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about a pair of Skechers or whatever move ton of units. But I think where people got it twisted is that when I said in the past
5 years.
5 years. Because a lot of people who are like, nah, Yeezy 350s are way bigger, but I'm like, but in the past
5 years.
5 years.
The Nike Panda Dunk.
Yes, has much more impact. 350 has still been a popular shoe over the past 5 years, but the height of the 350 was before that. And I'm also talking about things like
the height of the 350.
But I'm also talking about, well, like to me, like 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018.
More
recent. Units-wise?
Yeah.
Units-wise, I feel like
more
they
recent
kept
when they
going
became
up.
Readily available.
But I know what you mean in that I feel like the early 2020s will be remembered as the period when the 350s waned.
Yes.
For obvious reasons, one of them being Kanye West torpedoing his relationship with Adidas.
And even over the past 5 years, it feels like at least half of that has been like,
I feel like
no Kanye.
I feel
you
like
know?
In the last 5 years, though, 350, probably right before pandemic, they were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pandas are everywhere.
Do you see more Nike Panda Dunks out right now than you do Adidas Yeezy 350?
I've started to see.
You could walk down any block and you'll see one or two. Any block.
Panda Dunks?
Yes.
And not the same amount of 350s?
Not.
I've started to see less, though. Like
Pandas?
No, 350s.
I have, but they're still all over, but I think
they
Panda
are, but,
Dunks
I mean, that
right
makes
now,
sense. There are less releases from Adidas.
I think Panda Dunks right now still all over. Also, I did like the comment section because a lot of people, I commented I never had a problem with the shoe.
Yeah.
And a lot of people agreed.
But a lot of people got mad at you too, right?
I don't know.
No,
mad,
I'm
but they, the disagree, they, disagree, they disagreed, but it's true. I never had a problem with that shoe. It's really what you were saying about the bread.
It's not offensive.
Like you... It's a shoe that people don't like because everyone has it. Is that fair?
Yes, I think so. That's not a good enough reason to not like a shoe. Although
I agree.
Maybe you don't like it because it's flimsy and it's cheap and the leather is the fakest leather you could possibly imagine. But I don't think that people who are on social media videos saying the Panda Dunk's the worst shoe ever, you know, sneaker con
you
reaction
see
videos.
So much of that.
I don't think those people are saying that because of the quality.
But also the other thing is I remember, when do you think it was peak Panda craze? 2021?
That's
no,
when the shoe first came
the
out.
The shoe first came out March 2021, and it was still kind of limited in those first few waves. I feel like 23 was maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, like
my
last year.
2022, I remember meeting someone, and they had them on. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, good choice. Before.
Yes.
Before the craze.
Before it was ubiquitous.
Even though now it's all over the place, I still feel that way. I remember, like, if that was, like, we always talk about gifts, like, which is the one perfect gift. But it was a take that I think it's one of those things where you're like, this is true, but I'll never.
People don't want to admit to it.
Exactly. When you see it in print, you're like.
And I said for better or worse. You know, where it's not really.
What did you call it? You called it the most influential shoe of the past 5 years?
Most influential shoe
people were like
of the
no
past 5 years. And no, but reason why
is
I feel like that shoe, like I said, for better or worse, got so many people. I know. All right. I hate having to qualify things before you say it. You should be able to just say things, but people get all in their bunch about you just saying things. So that shoe got so many people who would have never bought something that we would consider a sneakerhead shoe, got them in the door, right? What they do from there.
It's a good point.
Doesn't matter, right?
But the life they choose
but,
from there?
But hey,
listen, we
how many
like the Drewski meme.
We're not going to legislate that.
How many people who bought a Panda Dunk before they ever bought like a Dunk or anything of that ilk ever went to a sneaker blog, ever?
I don't know if it translates. Like that.
Hold on. Went to a sneaker blog, went downloaded sneakers app on their phone, went to a Foot Locker and asked someone at the store when they're getting a certain shoe in stock, did a little bit of research online about how do I buy this thing instead of just going out and buying the thing, because that's probably their consumer experience with sneakers throughout their lifetime up to this point. And it's like that little bit of something. I just feel like someone gets a Panda Dunk and then it's a gateway for them to some extent, where not everyone becomes like this OG collector where going back and arguing shoes from 2006 versus that. But you may buy a Jordan 1 and an Air Force 1. You may go buy an Air Max 97. Hey, heck, now you go buy your shoes at the local Magic sneaker instead of buying them just at some sort of generic Macy's, etc. Yeah. So
is Magic sneaker?
Yeah, I don't know what you.
Magic sneaker. It's just some sort of. It's just like a urban. They have cool sneakers.
Okay. Okay. I just never heard the term. Sorry.
It's kind of like it's a chain, but it's
Jimmy Jazz.
Yes, it's like a GB's sort of.
Okay. Well, you talk about influence. I will tell you, and I've said it on here before, but I was when I forget who we were filming at Stadium Goods, and you're surrounded by the rarest sneakers in the world, in the glass case, rarest sneakers in the world. There's three sections. The first section, when I went in, it must have been around August, September, all Panda Dunks.
I don't think it's great. I thought it made sneakers extremely.
I'm just saying influential.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying.
$30,000 pair of sneakers. They gave this real estate to Panda Dunks.
Selling
and I was
way more of those.
Interesting.
I think it's extremely boring, right? But heck, how many people probably went into a Stadium Goods, a Flight Club, a local resale shop
for
the first time because they wanted to get these shoes? So I think the influence that it brought is that it probably brought a lot more people into the sneaker space than any other shoe.
I don't know that you're wrong, but it's so hard to quantify.
It is. I agree.
It's one of those sneakers where you see someone wearing it and it doesn't really mean that they're into sneakers.
For sure.
And I do think that that's quite possible, what you're saying. I just wouldn't be as conclusive because I don't know if you buy a Panda Dunk, how likely you are to. And I'd be really interested to see Nike's internal data on like whether or not somebody who bought a white and black Nike Dunk Low has more affinity for product or is more likely to return and buy other stuff.
If they got a red Jordan 4.
Imagine. I would love to see that data, the extent to which that person ends up spending another $500. Yeah.
And I get it. It's like if you see someone in a pair of Panda Dunks, it's, I guess at this point, it's almost the same thing as, you know, you just seeing someone on the train in a pair of like cooked Air Force Ones, right? Where it's no, it is.
It's true. It's true.
It just is, but no, because you look at it the same way where it's like, I genuinely don't care if you have a pair of cooked Air Force Ones. I don't care if you have a pair of Panda Dunks on, but you're not gonna like look at that person and not judge them, but just probably get the feeling that, you know what, hey, they probably have a huge sneaker collection at home, right?
Cooked Air Force Ones versus new pair of Pandas you put on the same level.
I don't think they're cooked, but I think they're both shoes that people wear to like a pretty strong degree where it's like if you have a pair of Panda Dunks, I doubt that you just wear them once every 3 months. Like, they're probably your shoes that, like, you wear two or three times a week.
I mean, I bought a pair for my girlfriend in 2021, and same. She cooked them. Yeah.
But I do think cooked Air Force One's becoming a trend, which it did. Really did.
Yes.
I don't know if I put that as the same as, like, new pair of pants.
But you know what? I don't think cooked Air Force Ones became a trend in the sense that people were, like, wanting to wear cooked Air Force Ones. I think I think the white Air Force One just became a popular shoe with a lot of people who previously weren't into sneakers that are, like, outside of the traditional demo. So they wore them like they would just unimportant sneakers to them, and then they ended up cooked. It's not like people wanted to have a pair of fried Air Force Ones. They just had Air Force Ones, and those were their shoes, so they wore them 4 days a week.
In some regards, think that the Nike Panda Dunk is approaching the Air Force One white on white in its ubiquity.
What about that for a headline?
In it being a standard shoe, and it being a somewhat sneakerhead shoe, but
it's cool enough, but not. I feel like the Air Force One, though, has just so much more, like, cultural lineage.
Yes. Look, 1,000%. They're similar in design. They're both very basic versions of a beloved silhouette. But the Nike Panda Dunk doesn't have the cultural cachet and never peaked in the same way that the Air Force One did. The Air Force One has all this important history in hip-hop, Jay-Z, Rockefeller, people like Clark Kent.
And no matter what, you can just wear them these days, and it's just, hey, I don't know what I'm going to wear. Throw on a fresh pair of whites and you're good.
But the Nike Panda Dunk never had that. No. So I don't think it will, at least for us, it will never have that same status, but I wouldn't be that surprised if for a future generation, and we talk about this a lot, and it's interesting to predict how people who are 15 now will feel about a specific shoe in 20 years. I could see them calling the Nike Panda Dunk a classic. I'm going to say it.
I think people just get upset by it. And it's like a few of the points that I made where I'm like, imagine you go into like an ice cream shop and there's 175 flavors and you're like, oh, this place is awesome because they have 175.
Trust me, man, I'm a Morgan Stern's going ham.
Yeah, they have 175 different flavors and you just leave with chocolate. And it's like chocolate ice cream always hits every single time.
Vanilla bean?
It hits every time. So you can't be mad at someone who's getting the basics.
Yeah.
But it's like you had all these decisions to pick from something that you could have did something different, and you just go with the white and black shoe.
Someone texts you right now, I want a pair of these, and they send a link, and it's the Panda Dunks. What are you saying? Go for it?
Sure. I really don't care.
It depends on what occasion and what the person is aiming for. If they're like, I want a cool sneaker,
I'm saying no?
That's probably not it. But again, I want to go on record, same feeling as well through this. I don't have anything against the shoe. I've said that multiple times. Like, anybody wearing them, I'm not looking down on you. I wouldn't wear it because it's so everyday and so ubiquitous that it just doesn't mean anything to me.
I think you get the feeling where it's like, I mean, we all have people in our life who just aren't into shoes, you know? And it's like one of those people, they'll hit you up from time to time about shoes. And it's either like the most obvious thing where you're like, hey, I can't get those for you. Mm-hmm. Like, where you're like, you're getting the message from your dad or whatever being like, hey, can you help a friend out with a pair of shoes for Christmas? And you're like, yeah, sure, what is it? And like they send you a link to like Kobe Grinches, and you're like, dude, like, I can't get these for you, like, I'm sorry.
No.
But it's the same inverse way of like a Panda Dunk, where it's someone who might hit you up who's not into shoes at all. They're like, I'm really looking to buy a pair of sneakers, I need to know how to get these. And then they send you a picture of the shoe, and it's like the Panda Dunk, right? And it's totally fine that they want them, but you're like, of course you want that shoe.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, at this point, Nike makes so many interesting shoes, and it's just like the most non-interesting,
standard, inoffensive.
And it's fine, though. It's totally fine if people want to wear it. I felt like people got upset about it. It just reminded me of like, I feel like it's the younger generation who's more mad about it anyways, because you see all these sneaker con videos of like younger kids being like, hey, I hate Panda Dunks. It's my least favorite shoe.
Panda Dunk is the worst shoe of all time.
Like, yeah, because it's probably because they go to school and so many people have them that they don't want to be associated with it. And I would say it's the same way growing up when I was in college or high school, and every guy has a pair of Nike Shox on, every girl has a pair of Uggs on, you know, where you're like, you just don't want to be affiliated with the thing that everyone the group thing.
Monoculture, thing. Yeah. Yeah, the Panda Dunk definitely is that. I'm very interested in the comparison between it and the white-on-white Air Force One, because like I said, I think they come from similar places, but don't really have the same foundation. And like, even Air Force Ones, you can look back to a better era of them and people we know, like PG, who can remember from the early 2000s when leather was better.
Look behind you. We have a pair of white on white Air Force Ones that everyone who's come on this show has signed.
Yeah.
Because we knew that that like meant something.
Yeah, yeah.
But you would never do that with a Panda Dunk.
No, we won't. But just thinking about how there were earlier versions of the shoe that were really beloved and people liked the shape more and things like that. But the Panda Dunk will never exist in our memory that way, because we will always remember that the first version of it was already cheap and flimsy and creasing up immediately. Ooh. Not that Air Force Ones were ever immaculate, but it just was never... there was never a high standard for it. It was always like this cheap thing, although not an accessible thing, because if you remember when they first came out, they were hard to get.
Yeah.
And again, that's important, like just putting it on the record.
That shoe, and we haven't even talked about it, it's like the amount of times that sneaker has been restocked.
So many.
Well, yeah, it's not even a restock at this point. It's just like a carryover. Yeah. It's just always... Yeah. Always like around.
Panda restock.
I would love to know how much they sold.
Somebody from Nike. Just slide the numbers.
Do you think
way.
That, you know, so it's like, it's always at the end of the year, Nike always wants to be like, we sold $1.3 million of the new Air Jordan 11.
In your best John Donahoe voice.
Yeah, yeah. It's like always like the earnings call thing. And it's always like a post. It's like, how many Air Jordan 11s did Nike sell this year?
Yeah,
yeah.
We're always surprised that it's always...
The most.
0.05% more than the previous year.
The best. The biggest.
But do you think that there's more Panda Dunks out there than there are like one of those huge Air Jordan 11 releases?
Hmm.
So you mean like the number of Panda Dunks released in a year?
Yeah.
Are they bigger than the holiday Marquee Air Jordan 11 drop release? That's 700,000 pairs? I'm gonna say Panda Dunks. That's my guess. Total guess. But that's my educated guess. What do you think?
Yeah. I feel like they just reached so many more doors.
Yeah.
And it's like
Jordan 11s are still a little bit protected, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And some stores probably get a ton of them, but some stores may only get like 24 pair.
I wonder if we're nearing a point too where you could buy a pair of Panda Dunks at Kohl's or something like that, or a Famous Footwear. You know, how much does Nike still protect that shoe?
Yeah.
It just reminds me a lot of working at Foot Locker back in the day, and you know, there'd always be like an interesting shoe. It's like, as sneakerheads, we always think the interesting shoes are the ones that people like. So like a perfect example is that back in the day, right, the Air Bacon gets retroed. Mm-hmm. Awesome shoe. Mm-hmm. Shoe that all three of us would be like, oh, that shoe's coming back out. Yep. We're all gonna buy it, right? Yep. But you actually put that shoe in a store where just average consumers are walking in and out who don't know the story. It's a black and red high top with yellow laces.
Kind of challenging.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're like, people don't even look at it twice, right? And it's like, you may get one kid every 2 days at the time who would come in, or maybe one kid a week who's like, oh, the Bacons are here. I want a pair, you know?
Yeah.
Versus there's a Team Jordan that comes out in charcoal gray black with a white midsole.
Easy. Doorbuster.
And you are selling 8-9 pairs of those a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Panda Dunk.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Classic?
Oh, is it a classic?
Classic sneaker?
It feels like it's a classic shoe.
Classic sneaker?
Here's the question, though, is that...
No, my question is it a classic? It's too early.
I'm going to say no. Because
is it an era defining shoe?
Yes,
it's an era defining shoe.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna say no to classic, because I don't think it has any culturally significant or defining storytelling behind it that can be attached to the shoe,
or any critical reception that was overwhelmingly positive.
And I'm sure it's happened, but I don't think people are gonna go back in 20 years' time and find. I mean, I'm sure they probably will, but like. Kind of a seminal artist of that generation wearing the shoe.
Yeah, Joe, yes?
Erling Haaland on Sneaker Shopping. The modern GOAT. I love it. He popped out in those.
An icon.
Here's a better question. Would you
don't
guys,
like my
would,
question?
No, would you guys wear Panda Dunks?
No.
Right now?
No, I wouldn't. Yeah.
Would you have ever worn
them? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, sure. In 2021, if I had a pair early on, I would have kicked them around for a couple months, yeah.
Yeah, when I commented, people are asking, well, why don't you wear them? Why don't you wear them? I probably wouldn't wear them, but I don't wear a lot of shoes.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting, too, and like one of the last topics that it made me think about, where it's like the influence of that shoe.
Yeah.
Is I feel like at the same time where the Panda Dunk and Jordan 1 became so popular, and they're essentially Air Force 1, they're all like kind of essentially not the same shoe, but they're so
quite similar
in design language and just released in very that simple color blocking, you know. Yeah. White and brown, white and black, white and seafoam green, white and khaki.
You called it paint by numbers.
Yes, paint by numbers. Shoes, everyone's going to, each one's going to hit that. That's all you saw. You know, there was a point where you walk into a resale shop and that's all you saw. All you saw on the sneaker release dates were just these shoes that were exactly the same from the year before. And the same thing with like the 350. I think the 350 was the same thing. It was like every, and that was Kanye's plan, though, but every single weekend.
Yeah.
Different, yep. Slightly different shade of the shoe coming out where it's just like, if you want, if you're looking for something different, it's just so boring.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that saying any of those shoes are bad. It's just boring from a sort of excitement, sneaker culture standpoint. But I do think the backlash to the pandification of sneaker culture was that shoes like this, Salomon, Hoka, New Balance, Merrill, et cetera, all this sort of stuff, all these weird shoes unbecame weird and it became acceptable to wear them. And, and part of me thinks it's because everything got so vanilla within sneaker culture that someone goes, I want to wear something that's funky as hell. So I'm going to wear these.
Funky as heck.
Funky as all get out.
Sorry, you're making a good point.
But I do think that, and that's not the only reason why. I think that, you know, there's all these collaborators and et cetera, et cetera. And the brands have gotten better in their structure of businesses and stuff. But I do think the reason why we're all wearing weird shoes to some extent here is because we don't want to just be wearing the same boring shoes.
I don't disagree with you. Can we close on one shoe that I think should not be divisive and that nobody should be able to get mad about our opinions on? This off-white basketball leather shoe.
Bad.
Just looks like a basketball.
Ugh.
It was like when Virgil's legacy... It's not without misses on shoes that he did either, you know, but his importance to sneakers is just at such a high level of respect, you know, where I feel like it's number one, way too soon, and it's almost impossible to have someone else step in for him and just do what he did and label it the same and have people think that it's the same product.
People are going to wear that, I bet.
The off-white basketball
sneaker? I bet like a celebrity is going to wear it to a basketball game.
I think there are no circumstances in which
I think a real telltale sign of that shoe was a friend of ours on the program. Go watch the episode. Ivan Jasper. We had posted on Instagram Ivan Jasper, friend of Virgil Abloh.
Yeah. What did he say?
What WTF is this?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, off-white is in a weird place right now.
I think that was a real condemning moment of that in a nutshell.
Yeah, you're right. I just wanted to mention this because I feel like that was one of the more memed sneakers in the past few weeks.
And the last thing that I just want to say before we go, a shoe that, and on a positive note.
Okay, please. Yes.
Something that it feels like we all love.
Yeah, because so much of the sneaker internet is hate and talking about negative, things that have gone wrong and bad things. Let's enjoy ourselves.
We've seen
it.
We've seen The Office a lot lately. I said it's one of the best things in sneaker right now.
He had him on this morning. He did a Mr. Rogers change
The undefeated
Humaras,
widely available shoe. Resale doesn't go too crazy. It's cool enough. Looks and like great. We're saying, it's a funky, different enough shoe that you can really step out in it and have something cool on your feet. And you know what? You can get them for retail. You can wear the shoes. People are doing it. They feel like it's a
Why don't you get a pair?
I want to. I probably should. I feel like it's a real unifying moment within sneaker collecting.
Undefeated Air Terra Humara.
Should we all three of us wear it to the office one day?
Yeah, I mean, really unify. Really bring things together. Although, you know what's coming apart is my other pair of Terra Humaras.
Don't get him started.
You can put the picture right here. I actually took the picture.
No, he's going to wear them on here. I know he is.
We're going to milk that for all it's worth. Definitely. Another crumbling pair
but
of
not undefeated
not ready
ones.
For that yet.
But put the disclaimer out there. Not undefeated Terra Humaras that didn't just fall apart out of the blue.
They CMs. They are defeated.
Just a lace on.
Defeated by Father Time, like all of us one day.
Except
the Panda Dunks here or, until the end of time.
God willing.
As I said, before you go. A Panda Dunk?
Before you go.
That's not going to go extinct.
T-shirt you want to wish your boy?
Cheeto!
Big fight this week.
Welty's wearing.
You may actually watch this weekend. Cheeto in the main event.
Knock Sean the heck out.
Wow.
Again.
All right, everyone. This has been the Complex Sneaker Show. We hope everyone has a great weekend. Please like, subscribe, comment. We will see you next week. Our producer is Jillian Hardman Webb. Our supervising producer is David Matthews. Audio editing done by Haley Choi. Research and graphics from Sean Villavicencio. The Complex Sneaker Show is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.